Welcome back to Copper Country Today. I'm your host, Rick Allen, and we're going to be talking about one of my favorite topics to talk about on this show is comic books. And to help me do that is Shanna Porteen from Black Ice Comics. Shanna, welcome back to Copper Country Today.
Thank you for having me.
We talked, I think it was probably about a year ago, and you know, we were talking about your new shop and some of the things going on there. So you own Black Ice Comics, which is down on Lakeshore Avenue in Houghton. Mm-hmm. How long have you been open?
A little over a year and a half now. And so, yeah, it's amazing. I feel like I've been open forever, and you know, it's awesome. It's a whirlwind to think that, and it's still amazing that people will come in and say, "My gosh, I didn't know you were here," and so that's exciting too. So more and more people, I think, are realizing that we're here. I have a lot of people coming in from out of town that are hearing about us and finding us on Facebook, and so yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It does seem like you've been there for a while, because we never had a comic book store until you opened yours. And what has been the response from locals, and particularly, I guess I would ask, when tech students aren't here, do you notice a drop?
You know, it's funny. No. Well, okay, maybe I should. Maybe a drop in certain customers, right? But the fact that we have a fabulous tourism season, both summer and winter, I really do get all kinds of people. And so a little bit of a drop, but of seeing certain faces, but I see new faces all the time. And I think that's why the shop has been able to sustain as it has.
What's the scope of your line of comics that you have? How many do you offer?
Oh my. Oh. Wow. I think doing an inventory count, I probably have more than 200 or so titles. Those are my new comics. So they span across the recognizable publishers, Marvel, DC. But I also have a great selection of independent comics. And so those are sometimes smaller publishers that put out different storylines than what are recognizable to most people as the superhero type comics. I mean, sometimes they have superhero type characters, but there are storylines and stories created around all kinds of topics. And so, yeah.
You often have guests in too as well, whether they're artists or writers and, you know, celebrities in the comic book world that, you know, come through and they're able to meet with the public. And that's a special treat, not one you're going to get just anywhere.
Right. And well, it's a treat for the shop too. You know, when we first opened, we had Norm Breyfogle, who's local, who wrote for and drew for DC, particularly Batman. And matter of fact, if you come in the shop, I have this beautiful statue that's based off of Norm's artwork. It's just fantastic. Here recently, Patricia Somerset, who is also a graduate of Houghton, is a very accomplished actress and voice actress, and is now the voice for Zelda, a very popular video game. And so, yeah, that has been a real treat for me, but I think an even greater treat for the customers. And so this is something that hopefully we can do some things in the future to get these two together and let fans meet their idols.
Well, I challenge anybody to walk through your shop and not walk out with something, because there's so much to, you know, that's going to catch your eye and to look through. And if you're like me, you walk in there and you feel a little bit like a kid again. And so there's comics from the old days that I remember, and then new stuff that I pick up. We've picked up several lines of comics and have, you know, read them from your store, and I appreciate doing that. So if you have not been down to Black Ice Comics recently, perhaps it was the construction that caused you to stay away. Now, you were at prime real estate for the, if you wanted to have a beachfront property, you had all the sand.
Right. Yeah, right. The old West Road for a while, yeah.
And it just went on and on and on and on. What was the effect on your business?
Well, you know, I guess because I think originally I was prepared that it was going to happen right in the middle of summer, so I was preparing for maybe June and July, and I think that the weather was not cooperating with the construction further up the road. I didn't really see a dip until they were, in fact, right in front, which unfortunately is when tech got back into session. And What hurt is when Huron Street had to be closed off, because that's the street closest to the shop where it's located, right under the parking deck. And I think that that street ended up being closed a lot longer than they had anticipated. And so I really did see a drop. And, you know, for all my regular customers that would wade through a pool of sharks to get to the shop to get their books, it was really inconvenient for them and an impediment. And the fact that, you know, I think that a lot of the crews, they had to kind of pay attention of what the elements were allowing them to do. Best laid plans were constantly being changed. And so I, bless their hearts, how many times I had to run out and flag somebody down and say, so what's open and what's closed today? And then I would jump on social media and try to inform, you know, the best I could so people could get to the shop and remind people that I was open. But it definitely took a hit. It was, and so still trying to recover. But, you know, I think what they're doing, it's the road is great. The sidewalk is even better. I'm excited about all of the future plans that they have to beautify what they're calling LoHo, and I didn't name that, they did. It'll grow on you, I promise, it'll grow on you. But it's great because, you know, this summer, before the construction, and truly the construction that was still happening up the street, really didn't impede a lot of walk-by. I doubled the walk-by this summer compared to the previous summer. And that really excited me. And I think that maybe that is in part of what Houghton has been doing. I think that, personally, I love it. The beautification that's been going on. The flowers are lovely everywhere. And I think it makes people want to walk around. And so they are starting to make their way down under the parking deck. And so I'm excited about that.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that you weathered the storm. I know there's other businesses down there, Center Ice mm-hmm. Skating as well, and some other businesses down underneath the parking deck, and you know, I hope that they fared as well, because right. You know, it's a nice area that, you know, things are tucked underneath there, and if they can improve the road down there, the walking, the sidewalk, and that way people are more apt to travel down there, then it can only be better in the long run for Absolutely. Those businesses.
I agree.
So coming up, we have some big events. Treat Street's coming to Houghton, and mm-hmm. Are you going to have any part in that? I mean, it seems like it's something right up your alley.
Yes, this year I got together with several other folks with the city, and we have decided to try out a costume contest this year with Treat Street. And so, because this was kind of a last minute, we're testing the waters. It will only improve. So this year, it's going to be a homemade costume contest in which we have two age categories. We have 12 and under and 13 and older. There will be judges that are going to go out in the crowd, and they will tap you out. So the judges will come up and hand you a card to let you know that you've been selected. And then at 5:45 under the Wells Fargo parking deck, we'll have our tapped out folks line up so everyone can see their wonderful costumes. And then they will be entered into, each age group will be entered into a drawing for a grand prize. And then in addition to that, I am also having Halloween Comic Fest at the shop. That is running from 12 to 6. Free comics. I've got full-size comics that are going to be free. I also have mini comics. I have little mini comics, packages of mini comics that people can come in and buy if they'd like to give those out for Halloween, either with their candy or in lieu of candy. I've been joking to say it's a healthier alternative and it's better than those raisins that you were considering giving out at Halloween. But I am also doing a costume contest at the shop that if you come to the shop dressed up and hold up one of the free comics that you get, we'll take a picture, or you can take a picture with your phone, and we can upload it to a national costume contest that's sponsored by the HalloweenComicFest.com. And it's a great opportunity to nationally kind of let people see your costume. And I tell you what, last year they do some random drawings in addition to that if the photo that is uploaded online, people can log in and vote for that costume. But there are random drawings. And one of our customers last year won one of the random drawings, won a $100 gift certificate to spend in the shop. And so that was really exciting. So a lot of things going on the 28th this month.
Yep. So October 28th, that's the day of Treat Street now. So to be clear, these are two separate contests. Yes. One is taking place on Treat Street, which is going to be on Sheldon Avenue.
Yep. Between 4 and 6.
Between 4 and 6, okay. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, they have the haunted house put on by the city center downtown, and the businesses that are open that are passing out candy. It's been a big hit, and it's been a big success moving it to Saturdays as well, from what I've heard.
A lot of businesses participating, giving out candy this year, it looks like. And so, it's growing.
Okay. Yeah. So that's the contest for the two categories, 12 and under, and then 13 and over. You'll get a card, go to the Wells Fargo parking deck at 5:45, and then they have the grand prize at that time.
Yes, that's right.
Then a separate contest.
Yes.
Completely different. Now, you could actually enter
in
both.
You could, absolutely.
you head down to to Black Ice Comics on Lakeshore Avenue there, and that was between what time again?
12 and 6.
Between 12 and 6 for Halloween Comic Fest. Mm-hmm. And okay, so that's restrictions on the costumes? Do you have to be a comic book character?
No, not at all. However you want to dress up and pose with your free comic, it's your choice.
You know, I've got a great Pennywise costume.
Oh, that's perfect. Absolutely. Horror is always acceptable in the comic book world.
I bought it years ago, right? Because it's based on the original television series, and it's really good.
Nice.
You know, I have a hard time wearing it because it just freaks everybody out. They don't want to be around me.
Whether you're a nice clown or a scary clown, sometimes people are just going to be terrified of you.
I said, well, this is the year to have it, you know, with the movie. And I said to the folks down at the city center, I said, you guys got a haunted house. You want me to come as Pennywise? They haven't gotten back to me because the concern is it going to be too scary for the kids? I mean,
maybe it's too scary for them.
Yeah, I could dig Halloween. Always have, definitely. All right. So again, October 28th, Halloween Comic Fest at Black Ice Comics, and then Treat Street happening the same day up on Sheldon Avenue. Yeah. Definitely take part in that.
Just think of it. It's just a great day-long celebration of Halloween. And so, absolutely. Yeah.
And Halloween's on a Tuesday this year, so if you want to have any real fun, you got to go out on Saturday.
That's right.
Tuesday would be fine, but all the kids are going to be in bed with their bags of candy by, 8, 9 o'clock. At least they should be.
Candy coma by 9.
There you go. Yeah. Prayers for the teachers on Wednesday morning.
Right.
While we're here, let's talk about some comic booky stuff. Let's geek out a little bit.
Okay.
A few months ago, my family and I we decided to watch all of the Marvel superhero movies going back to the beginning, because over the years that they had come out, we had watched this one and then missed that one, and then I never watched them in order. It actually took me a little while to see just how much one led into the other. So we said, okay, let's start with Iron Man and start watching them in the order that they came out so we could see them all. And it really helped, actually. It really put the whole Marvel Universe, Avengers anyways, to perspective there. And while I was watching them, I wondered, from somebody that enjoyed comic books as a kid, and of course many of those comic book lines are still going or still popular, whether or not, from a comic book expert like yourself, if those movies made comics more popular or detracted from those that would normally have to find that entertainment by getting a comic book?
That's a good question. I think that the movie industry has gotten better at adapting the comics. Because I think that the movie industry maybe for the longest time didn't take comic books and the characters in them very seriously. And it's interesting that people ask me all the time, so are the movies really helping the shop? And the answer is, well, yes, to a certain degree. It brings people into the shop because I think it's the next, once they find out, oh, there's a comic book shop, and I know that this movie was based on a comic book, they may come in. It may not completely turn them onto that title, but we can, generally we'll find something that'll interest them. I think that with the movie industry, it's probably just like any adaptation of a book, right? That you have people, and a lot of these storylines that are being done in the movies that people are watching, and maybe they've never picked up a comic ever before. Those storylines are from way back. Those are you know, Silver Age, and so those are the books that were written, the storylines that were written in the late 60s and early 70s. And so if they come in and they want to continue reading, or they want to see, you know, we'll have to kind of go back, which is fine. We can go back and try to find you the line of those comics so you can kind of keep with that storyline. But there's been so many reiterations of like you said, there, you know, some of the lines are still going. The characters have changed. They've gone through several different episodes or events, and you know, people die, and in the comic book world, they don't stay dead for long. You know, they're going to come back, and so. But it's interesting too that, you know, for those that have read comics and have probably read the storylines that a lot of these movies are, there's always the critics, right? I, like I said, it's with any adaptation. There's how true are they to the comic book. And so I think that the people who are now vested in making these movies are trying to stay as true to characters and storylines and expectations as possible. But I think you have to be honest that sometimes what maybe comes out fantastic in the comic book maybe doesn't always translate into the movie, which is not a bad thing. But I think for people who maybe are expecting something, maybe that emotional punch or whatever is just not the same in the movie as maybe it was in the book. And but you know, I really love it when people are excited about particular characters and they come in the shop, because I can show them, you know, yes, so this is what you've read, this is what you've seen. And so now I can bring you in and I can show you the new comic that's written about this character. But I also have the back issues where I can say, well, here, we can go back and look at these back issues. And, you know, a lot of folks, I think a good example would be with the Marvel movies, the Civil War series that we just went through. That was actually a series that was written several years back. And so we've already gone through a story event of Civil War II. So a lot of the people who are digging the movies are coming in and then asking to read that. And so, you know, I have those issues, and we can get them set up so they can kind of continue those storylines. But it is different. You know, there's a different flow to reading a comic book than watching a movie. But it's two different ways to really enjoy these characters. If you're really enjoying these movies, I'm also amazed that people will come in the shop and say, I didn't know that they were still making comic books. I think Marvel and DC are both, you know, they should be required that at the end of each movie, they should put on there in big, bold letters, this was based on an actual comic book. Go see your local comic book shop.
you mentioned about the changes that the movie industry and how they've gotten better at adapting comic books. And, you know, reminded from 20 years ago when the X-Men movies were coming out. Mm-hmm. Now, me and my friends, we were X-Men comic book readers. Mm-hmm. They were good movies, good action films. They had nothing at all to do with the comic book series.
Right.
And now the Marvel series for the Avengers were a whole lot better, especially when you factor in things like Thor and stuff that were, you know, they actually did a pretty good job on the backstory for the characters. And so then DC comes along and they start churning out movies. Of course, it's a competition, so they want to start getting out movies. Right. And they're just getting blasted one after another. Superman versus Batman, terrible, you know, everything. Then all of a sudden Wonder Woman comes out.
Right.
And I saw Wonder Woman, and if all I knew about Wonder Woman was Linda Carter?
Yes, right.
You know, in the 70s. And the Justice League and all that sort of stuff. I'd say, what on earth is this? What are these Amazons? And well, that is actually the original origin story of Wonder Woman was told actually fairly well by the movies. And it's quite a triumph. And they're reaping the dividends from that.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, and I think the expectations too. You had a different director for Wonder Woman than you had for some of the other movies in DC. So, you know, you had Suicide Squad and predominantly, and I'm not trying to make this a gender discussion, but Patty Jenkins, when she took over Wonder Woman, did a fantastic job. It was beautifully done. And I think it shocked people. And so the next upcoming movie, which is Justice League, that'll be coming out in November, lot of people, I mean, there was a lot of jokes going around that, you know, that perhaps the director should be replaced by Patty Jenkins because perhaps, you know, maybe she would do a better job. But, I, you know, it's interesting, too, that I think a lot of the people who are doing the movies now and then, directing, producing, they're comic readers. They've read it. And so they haven't. But, you know, it's kind of, they have an expectation of how it's going to be done. But, you know, you've got a whole fan base. You know, and there are some people who are so vested in how that character is done. And you're right, I think that instead of the over-the-top, what is a superhero, that they have these fantastic abilities or whatever, and that you can just stick them in any situation, Wonder Woman was, okay, here is her origin, and this is who she is. And it really turned on, I think, a lot of fans. That was one where, the one movie where I did have people come in the shop and say, I want to read more Wonder Woman. And so that was great. That was great.
Another way that they stayed true to certain comics, in this case, was Deadpool. And mm-hmm. I'll bring him up because, you know, now I was never a Deadpool reader. Mm-hmm. You know, I saw the movie and I said, wow, is that really vulgar?
Yeah.
And, you know, my daughter, who knew a lot more about Deadpool, said, yeah. Dad, they did it right. They did it. They didn't pull punches. They, right. In fact, they probably could have even gone further. Deadpool is a very violent, vulgar comic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And even, was it Ryan Reynolds,
yes.
who played Deadpool?
Yeah.
He would say in interviews, what are you doing taking your children to see this movie?
Right.
It is
right.
not a kid's movie. Just because right. it's based on a comic book, if you ever opened that comic book, you would not let your kids read it, or you shouldn't right. be letting your kids read it. It's not what it's for. So rather than trying to go for a commercial, going for a PG or PG-13 movie, they went ahead and said, okay, we're going to make Deadpool.
Yep.
And did Deadpool really well, of course.
Yes.
And I think a lot of the fans of the comics were happy with the movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, from what I understand, if I remember correctly, that was the highest grossing movie of that genre, and rated R, too. I mean, it was and the first comic book adapted movie that was rated R. And you know, it's kind of interesting that this is where, for folks that maybe haven't been in a comic shop in a while, comic books have changed a lot. They've evolved. If it's been a long time since you've been they've definitely changed. We've got a rating system on the comic books now, much like the movie industry. And so when you have a character like Deadpool, who is quick-witted, but yeah, he's you know, it's vulgar, and that's what makes him popular, you know, and this ultra-violence. Ryan Reynolds, a huge Deadpool fan, this is why, you know, and he wrestled with, from what I understand, the industry for a long time to make the movie the way it needed to be made, and it was incredibly successful. But I've got folks coming in, and I have 8-year-olds going, I want to read Deadpool, and it's always my responsibility to you know, inform the parent, okay, this comic may be PG-13, this one is definitely R. We've got mature reader comics that, you know, it's up to you. You are the parent. You know, if you've read it and you think it's okay, then by all means. But I don't sell these comics to younger children if in fact they don't meet the requirement to meet that rating. And so, but yeah. Matter of fact, it was very interesting because the next movie that came after that was, or not necessarily in sequence, but that became an R-rated movie was the one about Wolverine, Logan.
Yes, yeah.
And that particular movie, they did not intend to rate it an R rating. Once they saw the success of Deadpool, they went back and then made Wolverine more Wolverine, which is, again, you know, very violent, and I think the fans really appreciated that.
So we can definitely see the effect that comics have on movies. On the flip side, have you noticed anything with comics that are coming out? Do they increase the number of lines? Have stories changed? Are they, it's always been a commercial market, but are they printing in order to take advantage of the movies?
I think that they do, depending on, particularly Marvel and DC. You know, they'll throw out sometimes movie-specific comics. Like right now I've got a comic that, so the next movie that's coming up on November 3rd is Thor Ragnarok. And so I actually have a 4-comic prelude to that movie, and it's talking about that movie.
Those make me mad.
But the regular storylines are not coinciding with what we're seeing. But one of the things that you do see when you walk in is that there is a change a little bit in the art style. And particularly, So, I mean, we're talking about movies, but I mean, we've got all kinds of television shows that are out there right now that are very popular. And
Netflix
and doing Netflix enough. Is doing They're a
Jessica
high
Jones,
quality.
Luke Cage, mm-hmm. doing great with those.
Exactly. So, last year they released re-released Luke Cage, I should say, with a very unique art style. And they just abruptly ended it after 5 issues because people weren't buying it. And so they re-released him this year, and the art is basically depicting the guy who's playing Luke Cage in the Netflix series. Mm-hmm. And so you're starting to see, and you know, the way that I've even seen Thor drawn this summer, and he's actually not Thor right now. If you've been in the comic shop, Mighty Thor is somebody else right now, and it's actually Jane Foster. And so I know I'm trying to like set the stage. You want to know how that happened? Come in the shop. But depictions of Odin's son look remarkably like Chris Hemsworth.
Well, you know, I love talking comics with you, and you like talking comics, so I encourage people to stop in Black Ice Comics because you'll talk to them for a long time, just as long as you keep on buying. Be happy to. I just want to make sure people understand my comment when I said I hate those. It's those inner movie comics. You know, I just couldn't figure out how Hydra got Loki snapped. You know, I mean, it was just there in the building, and then the next movie, it's Hydra has it. And my daughter was like, oh, that was from a comic book in between. So
There you go. There's always the pathway. Yes, yes.
All right, Shannon, thanks so much for coming on the program again and talking about all this.
My pleasure,
always. Copper Country Today, we'll be right back.